Your attention, please. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Chop Sports Network. Chop Sports.
Welcome back to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Feel Good Friday. Friday, July 16th, 2021, your hosts, Sturch and Gooch, and of course, behind the glass, we have intern AJ working the books, working the graphics, working the everything he does. First and foremost, AJ, I'm very sorry that you didn't get to enjoy your birthday experience like you thought you were going to because of good old COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, that was just absolutely foul. I mean, I would have liked to know it a little, you know, more advanced, but whatever.
It's all good. At least you didn't go all the way there. So anyway, we start today with sad, somber news that the Chop Sports softball season is over. We were bounced out of the playoffs with in the Final Four last night, a 9-5 loss and a 9-2 loss. So we gave up 9 runs in both games. And credit to the entire team for, you know, hustling out there. What team we had, you know, we were down a lot of guys, Carl, Stansky, Palumbo, like we were down a lot of guys in the playoffs.
Mangine ghosted
us like a bad girlfriend or something, or a douchebag guy or something like that. Like he just out of nowhere, no answer out of our third baseman. So we had to make some last minute adjustments. When I say last minute, it got to desperation hour, and I said, you know what? It's time to bring on one of the originals.
Full circle, baby.
Full circle to the disclosure of breaking the rules in softball. It is what it is. I don't care.
I mean, Landsharks broke the rules technically first because he was on our roster.
He was on our roster. We brought Ben Wexler to start left field last night, and he had himself a decent game. You know, those guys that we played in the regular season, I believe if we went 7-7, they played 14 games, 13-1. So they had a bye, I think, or maybe they just destroyed Body Browns. I don't know. They were in the Final Four, and they haven't lost any. Like, they lost one game throughout the entire season, and yeah, we couldn't get it done. Much like the first time we met them, which was mine and your first game of the season since we missed the first week, one bad inning, you know?
And hung with them, and they don't make mistakes in the field.
They really don't.
You're playing in a co-ed league, and you have a girl playing third base on the other team, you know you're in trouble. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah. I mean, she's playing third base. That one girl who had the Rutgers T-shirt on, she just graduated, so she was a college softball player. So they got some good girls. And to succeed...
Yeah, she hit a bomb.
Right. It ate somebody up. I don't know who it was.
It didn't eat me up, Dave. That's the way I play against girls in softball, because you make them hit a bomb.
All
right,
so it beat you.
Yeah,
that's all.
But I said, I've been saying this all season long. Make them beat you.
Because right.
The odds that they're going to beat you with a deep shot is rare in co-ed softball, but... Take away the base hit, because that's more common. You ever see girls hitting triples in softball? Not really in the co-ed league.
Yeah, you're right. So, they had a great lineup of girls. They had, you know, a lot of their guys could hit the ball well as well. And, you know, a couple bad innings here and there. You know how that goes. It's like a carousel. You know what I mean? Like, it just keeps... Once it basically that... What is it? Darwin's theory? Like, if it can't go wrong, it will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. So that might not be Darwin.
That's not Darwin.
Whatever. And there's a theory out there that if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And it did go wrong for the Chop Sports softball team. But shout out to that team, man. That was our first go at a softball team for Chop Sports. I've played on a lot of teams in the years of my professional softball career. Now I really sound like Ben. And this was probably the most fun I've had. So we've definitely
had a lot of fun.
We put something together.
I did strike out looking to start the game off, but
I wasn't going to say it.
I was. I call myself out. Honestly, I was in leadoff hitter mode, and he dropped two balls on the first two pitches. So I was like, all right, he's really going to have to come at one. He hit the plate. I was taken all the way on the, I mean, it starts with a 1-1 count. So I'll say the second strike, but really, which was the first strike that I saw. And then on the full count, I decided like immediately that I wasn't swinging. I put the bat down, and that's typically how I strike out. But Dave, you were right. There's no way I was taking another pitch the rest of the game.
The rest of the night, I said...
Even though I did end up taking a pitch.
You did.
One of the at-bats was terrible.
At your face. But, like, yeah, I think it was Ashley and somebody else. It might have been Joe D. I said, I'll bet my half of the business that he swings first pitch next time at bat, because he will not let that happen again, and you did not let that happen again. You probably had one of your better hits of the season, if I'm being honest. The one time you just pulled it down the left field line, easy double.
And I got to give myself the, I wouldn't say pat on the back because it's terrible, but warning track power. I got on you a few times. I did hit a nice shot, but it was directly to the guy standing at the warning track. For some reason, I haven't hit a deep ball all year, and he played me perfectly on that at bat. They it's must like, think because like I was leading off that I had power or something.
I don't know, but yours truly decided to go oppo on one of the plays. I saw the right center fielder was playing right field. Like, that's how much they thought I had. Like, here comes this big galoot of a player. He's definitely a pull guy, like, no matter what. Because I did pull the first couple balls. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to turn my entire body, like, my entire body, and just muscle one to right field. And I did. And then you heard me on that one, that the one that hit the lip of
the.
I'm like, get in the hole! Like, I was just like a golfer all of a sudden. But I had myself a decent personal.
I have 12 bruises, though.
Dude, first of all, my man Gooch decided, let's. The play at the plate that you had, the ball went sailing over the catcher's head. But if the play was there, if the throw was there, it was going to be a play at the plate. But what does Gooch do? Head first slide. And he's just dirty and just getting sand all up in himself. And, like, bro, when you said goodbye last night, you looked like you were in the DR for, like,
yeah,
it were just tan and just dirt everywhere. I was like, this guy just really gave himself up to the softball god.
Put myself in a blender last night.
Dude, you were banged up. And but, again, kudos and shout-out to the entire team. We played a really good season, played a really good team to get bounced. And that's that. You know, softball will be back before you know it. We'll be back for season two. So we'll cover a couple things today. Obviously, I was talking to AJ before about his venture to Yankee Stadium yesterday. Thank God he put the brakes on, or thank God they were listening to the radio. You know what I mean? And so the Yankees get postponed because of COVID. We'll get into that. We'll get into a couple things about NFL training camp because, honestly, last night there wasn't much going on, you know, as far as, like, to update you on all the happenings. It was either going to be one baseball game, no basketball, no hockey, no nothing. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go around the league and try to give ourselves an early July division winner based off of what we think that got going on.
When does camp open?
In about a week. Yeah, so we're right there. So it's just every team is basically built right now the way they want to be built. They're going to be cutting players that just don't belong. There's going to be injuries. So what we'll do is we'll take the division winners today, and then we'll revisit this in September right before the season to see, like, where are we sticking with our picks or are we not? We'll hit on that. But I will ask you on a Friday night when we do have some kind of free time tonight, if that's a possibility, which Fridays and Saturdays we try to.
Are you asking me directly? Or are you?
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask you directly, and I'll ask AJ, too.
I thought you were, like, talking to the people.
No. Well, I'll ask the people, too. What are you guys doing tonight? Are you going to watch Space Jam? Because Space Jam 2 came out today.
Is it on HBO Max or something?
It is.
Then, yeah, of course. But not tonight.
You're not going to
watch. I'm definitely going to watch that.
You're going to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have any, like... Well, you're a LeBron guy, so, like, yeah, you're okay with this.
I'm okay with it, and I'm okay with it being a Jordan thing back in the day because we've had this discussion.
You're allowed to like both.
You're allowed to like both guys.
I know, but again, me being not the LeBron fan, I'm going to watch it for the nostalgia purposes.
So Space Jam 2, if it's not LeBron, who is it?
How about don't do it?
Oh, really, Dave?
Yeah,
you
at all.
That, you know how much money they're going to make doing this?
Why does every movie got to be duplicated?
You know what? Maybe Nike shouldn't give a sponsor to any other basketball player because, you know, they did it with Jordan and it's disrespectful. Come on, Dave. It's money. It's all about the money, and LeBron is going to generate a lot of money.
I just don't.
Cream. Cash rules everything around me.
I just don't. Yeah.
Shout out to AJ. Do you know what the reference is?
That's a Wu-Tang.
Yeah, Wu-Tang.
I wasn't asking fucking you, Dave. I'm asking the youngin'.
With the dollar bills.
All right. Now he's rapping on the air. I just don't think everything needs a remake. I that's all. Like, if you wanted to do something like this, do it. But why do you have to, like, bring back the legacy of Space Jam? It's like, bro, do you know this? Fun fact, there's a Sandlot 2. Nobody knows this, right? There's probably a Little Giants 2 floating around somewhere. These things don't need to be remade, bro.
We're talking about Bugs Bunny, though, bro.
We're talking about Bugs Bunny. And look what they did to Lola. She was hot in Space Jam 1. She was the one furry that you're looking at her like, oh, damn, like, look at the bugs. He's going to hit. That's great. But now you're looking at
one furry.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Are you mad because the kids movie lost sex appeal? Is that what the problem is?
Yes, I am. Because look, dude, you look at Lola right now. She looks like a 14-year-old boy. You know what I mean? They dooted her up. You know what I mean? And why? Why would they do that? Because the world is different now, and you can't have sex appeal at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so stupid, bro. Like, it's so, so stupid. And I don't think...
I made a joke about secret stuff right there, but I'll refrain. You can use your imagination, people.
I just don't feel like everything needs a remake. I don't... Again, will I watch it? Sure, I'll watch it. I'll give it... Because I know there's going to be references to the old movie. I know they're going to touch on a couple things. But, like... Do a better trailer too, by the way. Like when the trailer comes out and I'm watching the trailer,
Dave is
and something happens. No, listen, something happens. The trailer can make or break a movie. You ever see the Medellin trailer?
You know what's gonna happen? You know what's gonna happen? The movie is gonna fucking break records, probably.
No, it's not, dude.
You know what? It might not because it's not in the box office. It's on HBO Max.
No, it's on. It's in both. It's in the movies.
Yeah, but the fact that it's on both, who's gonna go to the movies to watch it?
I don't know. People that like to go to the movies. Yeah. There's people out there. I used to love every Friday. This, me and my wife movie, would go to the movies.
If this movie was not on HBO Max and this wasn't a weird time, it would fucking explode. Everyone would be getting their tickets. You wouldn't be able to get tickets to Space Jam right now.
Me and my dad go to a bunch of movies. We both we were talking at dinner yesterday. We're like, we're not going to see fucking Space Jam, right? Like,
because it's on HBO Max. But
well, exactly.
But yeah. If it wasn't, then you'd probably go.
No. See, no, because it doesn't have that much power for me.
You know what? He's not old enough to remember. I'll just wait till it comes out on video.
Yeah, I'm that guy.
You're not that old.
Because that's what it would be. You would have to wait 3 months to watch it.
I'm so willing to wait, honestly. I'm so willing to wait.
Or in my dad's case, not even that. He's like, wait till it comes out on HBO. That's a year later. You know what I mean? He's like, I'll just watch it when it's on HBO. But you were definitely checking out some of the reviews already, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm curious to hear what some of these pundits are saying about Space Jam 2.
Oh, my God. Let me just read.
Make sure you're talking to the mic, too.
Let me just read to you what this New York Post article has a headline.
We're not dealing with
it. It's like ESPN reviewing it.
LeBron James film is an abomination.
Wow. See, there you go.
Next.
Then we have the IGN review, and it says, good. Space Jam: A New Legacy enters the 21st century with LeBron James' impressive visuals, more personal stakes, and a fantastic villain in Don Cheadle. Unfortunately, the movie's too concerned with showcasing Warner Bros' biggest franchises that Bugs Bunny and Friends got sidelined in their own movie. And I heard that, too, when I was listening to
the podcast. I actually saw that in the preview, where they were, like, showing, like, all the other characters.
Looney Tunes got halfway canceled anyway. You can't find Looney Tunes.
Didn't they cancel, like, Pepe Le Pew and shit?
Yeah.
Like,
Pepe Le Pew's a fucking freak.
Just, let me smell your booty.
That's Pepe Le Pew.
Oh my God. No, whatever.
Or something like that. I don't know if he's trying to sniff booty. Smell your
bum.
I'm sure he said that. But yeah, so Space Jam.
What a maroon. Yeah. Bugs Bunny is just is racist, actually. You know, like, let's be real about it.
Bugs Bunny is racist should be the name of the title of this podcast. I won't, but that's pretty funny. all right. Well, if you want, go check out Space Jam. It's out now, HBO Max or in theaters. And tell us what you thought. Like,
Bugs Bunny's racist. I don't want to talk shit on Bugs. It was the writers of Bugs Bunny. Those people back in the day had, I guess, free reign to do whatever they wanted.
I mean, there was no such thing as getting in trouble.
The era was just different, and I'm not, you know. Anyway,
did you ever notice or do you remember the rumors of seeing certain things in Disney movies where it was like,
yeah,
little hidden,
like,
things?
When Rafiki like knelt down or something and there was dust that came out and it spelled sex, and then there's, I don't know, Aladdin, there was something that happened with, he got a little bulge in his pants.
That happened in The Little Mermaid, too. And I think it was like certain thing, and all of a sudden it's like, whoop, there's his little pecker. Like, and how about the fact that the kingdom?
QAnon has entered the chat.
Yeah, what about the freaking whatchamacallit? Yeah. The castles behind on the cover of it with like a bunch of dicks. Like, it was just, Disney's are a bunch of.
Pinocchio is basically a movie about.
A boy with a dick on his nose.
No, it's about, like, child trafficking.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Jesus Christ.
He gets kidnapped and sent to Pleasure Island and turned into a donkey.
He's there. What are you talking about here? What's this guy? The guy?
Geppetto and
Epstein.
Oh, God.
Jiminy anyway, Cricket.
We're all over Jiminy Cricket. Ah, this one's all over the place. Back to the sports. Back to the sports podcast that we host here every day. Yes. Yesterday, you didn't get a chance to go see the Yankees. We didn't even get a chance to find out who was going to pitch. Nobody ever made any announcements. And maybe they had something to it. Maybe they were like, look, we don't even know if we're going to play, so we're not going to announce a pitcher. COVID-19 little outbreak, mini quote outbreak in the Yankees camp. Loaisiga, Cortez, and Peralta all tested positive already. Judge apparently tested positive. Gio with a rapid test. And then Higashioka also in some kind of protocol. So six Yankees fresh off the All-Star break. So now I beg the question. I won't get, we already talked about this, about who's vaccinated, who's not. But clearly these guys are not. Or the fact that the Yankees tiptoed around it and did the whole Johnson & Johnson one, which is supposedly 75% effective as opposed to the 97% Pfizer and Moderna, they all got the Johnson & Johnson one-shot deal. So is that showing you that, this is the proof in the pudding, that that's not the way to go about it? Or maybe these guys aren't vaccinated at all. And now you're causing a scene, and you're the headline story in baseball right now because we haven't heard anything.
Which opinion do you want of mine? The one that probably people don't want to hear, or do you want to hear the fake one?
I would like to hear both. No, right. No. I want to hear the one that the people probably don't want to hear.
I want to hear that one.
Yeah.
They are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want. They don't have to get this vaccine or that vaccine. And if a Yankee wanted to go get the Moderna one, by all means, they can. If the Yankees provided the Johnson & Johnson one to them, then that's what the Yankees' business is. But if these guys don't want to get a vaccine, they should not have to get one. That's just my opinion. I know that people might look at me strange, but if you happen to look me dead in my eyes, you will be vaccinated because I am the vaccine. That's my honest opinion.
And that is the truth.
But I don't want to make light of the COVID situation because there is several people out there that have dealt with extreme loss and hardship over the whole pandemic. And, you know, I just think as major league players, just because they're in the major leagues, they shouldn't have to subject themselves to being put under somebody's thumb and being told, you need to do this.
Totally, totally. So I firmly believe the same thing. And that goes with anybody, not just Major League Baseball players. You don't want to get it? Don't get it. That's fine. But you're leaving yourself susceptible. Go ahead and then get it. And then, okay. And then, like, you got it. You didn't die. You know,
to each his own.
Right. Exactly. And that's the way it should be. But then again, you know, it does bring a little bit of fear to me. Like, because of this in MLB, now do they start the restrictions and the tighter protocols shit? Is there going to be a trickle down effect, is what I'm saying?
No, I think that the season has gone on pretty much according to plan with a few cancellations or postponements early. And now you see them scattered throughout, but Major League Baseball, for all the fucking bullshit, they've done a pretty good job of get keeping the schedule together. And I'm not, again, I don't want to make light of it, but I haven't heard of many serious cases. You know, these guys usually enter protocol and then they're back within a couple of days. Chris Paul tested positive. He's playing. You know, he missed a couple games. But I think that for the most part, the doctors and the medical professionals have this a little bit more under control than we first had it. And there's a lot more understanding as to how to treat it and how to fight it. And, you know, I don't want to get too.
Yeah, we're just in a better situation.
I know that if you know me, you know my stance on this whole situation. And I just don't want to come off as a certain type of way. But I think that it's not as huge of a deal as it once was.
Correct.
I just haven't heard of a death toll. I haven't heard of these things in quite some time.
Right. So it's getting better and people are getting vaccinated or they're, and it's stopping the spread and all this other shit. So we're getting back to normal today. Like walking into the deli today to get us some bagels for the morning, walking in, saying hello, everybody's smiling, everybody's talking, everybody, no masking, and you walk out and it was like, we're good. It's normal. It felt good. You know what I mean? And I think that's, I firmly believe that's going to be the way going forward. And baseball has handled it, just like you said, they've handled it well. Hopefully they play tonight. And if anybody's still in protocol, then they don't play. They're out of the lineup. That's just the way it is. So unfortunately, the Yankees play the Red Sox of all teams, you know, and their lineups are going to be beat to shit already based off of this. And you're down pitchers and you got to call guys up and it's going to be a mess. But I think they'll get it done. The Yankees are scheduled tonight, 7:05. So let's just see if they're able to do it or they push this entire series to the end of the year. I don't know. Whatever they want to do to right the ship, I'm sure they'll get it right. So that's all I'm saying about that, which was a lot, but it's fine. It's over.
Oh, yeah, I need baseball back, by the way. I realized that last night.
Just as a whole.
Like, no, you know how I was saying, like, I need my break. And then when the Yankees were supposed to be playing, I was like, fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean, like, I had my break.
Yeah, I'm done now. Thank you.
I was saying to Ash, I was like, I know I talked about needing a break from baseball, but I had it. I need it.
Last night was the first night that we didn't have, for obvious reasons, football, baseball, basketball, hockey. Nothing was on last night.
Since the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Since the beginning. Since the, we had all, I remember having no sports forever and then and all four them, sports right. at once.
So that last night was, you know, it was weird. It was like a weird feel. When we walked in today, even AJ was like, what the hell are we going to talk about today? I was like, ah, don't worry about it. We got this. But like, it's a real thing. It's crazy.
One more shout out to MLB for doing what they did with the home run derby balls, scattering autographs by the players.
I did see that. Pretty dope, man. Pretty dope.
So like if you caught a home run ball in the home run derby, it was potentially autographed by one of the players that were hitting.
That's pretty dope. Yeah, it's very cool. So a lot of money to be made on eBay for a lot of these fans. So we'll see. There is nothing on my person that I care more about than my hair and beard. It's the moneymaker. I need it mint. The only person I trust right now is John over at Main Street Barbershop in Metuchen. John has been at this game for 7 years and offers premier haircuts, complete bald head shaves, shape-ups, beard trims, the works. You can follow Main Street Barbershop on Instagram at MainStreetBarber_Metuchen, and you can book an appointment by downloading the Booksy app or call John directly at 732-569-2592. Tell him Chop Sports sent you. But now NFL training camp is about to rev up. I'm pumped, more than pumped than I've ever been for an NFL training camp, especially specifically for my Dallas Cowboys. Now they get Hard Knocks, so it's a little inside look. I'm going to be excited. I know other people don't agree with me that they think that they shouldn't be on the damn show because it's a distraction. What's his face? Dave Campo, former Dallas head coach who's on the first season. He goes, it's a distraction. It's no good. And I was like, bro, you went 5-11 3 years in a row. Shut your mouth. You're like, Hard Knocks wasn't there every year, clown. You're done. Shut up. But anyway,
he still has a voice in Cowboy Nation.
I guess somebody interviewed him on Blogging the Boys, and they just got some they got some burn on that one. But now the story's heading into training camp. We'll pick some division winners and why in just a second. But obviously, the biggest story in the NFL, it's the truth. It's the Packers and Rodgers situation. Is there a situation at all? Gucci doesn't think there is. There's all, you know, there's hearsay.
We're getting down to it, though.
We are.
Make or break time.
It is.
Very soon.
Something needs to give. Either an extension is announced or something for Aaron Rodgers.
I think it's
going
to be the extendo. I don't think he goes back to playing this year unless they give him the extension and what he wants at this point. He's not going to go play a lame duck season. I just don't see that happening. But I think that the Packers know that. The roster is too good for them to let their quarterback fucking sit out a season. Jordan Love is not ready. They're talking on the Sports Illustrated article that I read that they were force-feeding Jordan Love reps in the spring. No. If Rodgers was there, he wasn't getting force-fed shit. It was because Rodgers wasn't there in the OTAs. That's why he got his reps. And he needs them.
Did you by any chance see that our intern, AJ, who invited...
Yeah, AJ's going to get a fucking wedgie and a noogie. Jordan Love is the GOAT. At what point did you think that was going to fly?
I don't know. I just thought it'd be cute.
And I have nothing against Jordan Love, honestly. I hope he does turn out to be the GOAT. That would be a perfect world, is that Rodgers plays 3 more years.
How fair is that? That's not fair.
Rodgers plays 3 more years, and at the end of those 3 years, they make another decision whether they want to go forward with him or go forward with Jordan Love. If Jordan Love isn't ready, then they got Rodgers for 2 more after that on the same kind of deal that he's on now, right? But Jordan Love is a first-round pick, so they have 5 years with him. They have 4 years in the team option. That's what it is for all first-round picks in the NFL. There's really no rush on the Jordan Love situation. He's under contract. He's not played it down yet. Let's let that marinate.
Give Blake Bortles a little bit more love, too, by the way, because he's one of the greatest of all-time backups.
The boat, baby.
The boat. The Bortles of all time. I like that, actually. That's a shirt. So keeping it on a local front, the Giants are coming back into 2021 a little healthier. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, did you see the picture of his ridiculous quads and hamstrings and friggin', I mean, come on, man. What are you friggin' squatting a bus? Like, what is exactly your protocol? Like, good
looks healthy.
Lord.
Looks pretty healthy.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And that's what happens when you get injured early in the year. And he's got it's not like he was injured late in the season where this is where Ben was talking like, oh, I'm worried about Saquon coming back off of an injury. Well, it was early in the season. They've had a long time to recover. The doctors really are fucking on point with these ACLs now, especially if you're in the NFL. Mm. I think Saquon's due for a bounce back year, at least catching the ball, because I'm not sure about the Giants' O-line. But
yeah, well, I was say, the only thing I'll say about the Giants is that they didn't really do much to their offensive line, so they might be on the run. Literally and figuratively.
But they do get Nate Solder back.
Okay. But he wasn't really Nate Solder, you know, even in his latest years. You know what I mean? Like, he's just not I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and bash the Giants because that's not what I want to do. But, yeah, we'll see. And then, of course, in sharing the same locker room, the Jets are coming into a really fun season, I think, with a new quarterback, new coach. How many games they can rattle off, that remains to be seen. We said it the other day. He thinks 7 wins is a success.
Also, Nate Solder was there with the Patriots when Judge was there, so maybe there's a little bit. He hasn't gotten to play under his new coach yet.
This is what, did the opt out last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, and the Patriots, I mean, they're getting like 6 guys back on the defense. Yeah. Hightower, Chung, they're getting a lot of guys back on defense. So that could be a game changer in New England. But like I said, the Jets with the early hype, it's fun. We'll see. You know what I mean? We'll see about them. But now we're going to get into breaking down these divisions. And, you know, I do want a division winner. And then I want a maybe a surprise team that would give them a run for their money, and maybe a team that, because I'm also looking for the worst team in the league as well. Like, who's going to be in the running for the number one pick next year? Who hasn't done enough this year and this offseason to do anything and get worse? So, or I'm sorry, and get better. So we'll get into that in a second. So we'll start in the AFC East. Obviously, last year's division winners were the Buffalo Bills. They had themselves a phenomenal year. Josh Allen played out of his mind. Stephon Diggs played great. What a great addition that was. The running game was kind of, I don't know, not suspect. I can't say suspect, but it was just like nothing that they focused on. You know what I mean? It wasn't the primary focus. Zach Moss was their guy over there, along with a couple other guys.
Singletary,
right. So there was definitely, you know, a great, great team that they put together. The question is, I'll just start and say, I don't think anybody touches them in the AFC East this year. But I will say the team that makes the biggest leap to me will be the Miami Dolphins. I think Tua, a second year, and that coach. I love that coach.
Flores had the team playing hard 2 straight years. Even 2 years ago, I remember picking against Miami in a survivor pool against the Colts, and I thought I had it locked up with that team because Miami was terrible. They were losing every game, but they were in every fucking game.
Right.
They're 2 years ahead in their rebuild. They sold everything. And they've drafted really well with the picks that they've gotten. I like Miami's chances, but not to win the division. They have a chance to sneak in as a wild card. But as you were saying a little bit ago, the Patriots have a lot of guys coming back. The only thing that I can't get behind with New England is Cam.
Well, they got Mac Jones now.
I know. But are they going to make that move? Because I don't think Cam is a backup. I think Cam gets cut if he's not the starter.
Really?
They announced that out of camp. That yeah, I just don't see them paying that money to Cam to sit on the bench. Not that Cam is getting paid a ton of money.
I was going to say, it's not a big contract, but yeah, I mean, that could be a thing. I don't really foresee him holding a clipboard either. I definitely see Mac Jones doing that, being a rookie and everything like that, but I don't know. AJ, your Jets going to win the division?
Absolutely fucking not.
Okay.
I don't want to say that the Jets are in the running for the first pick, but they're in the running for the first pick.
Oh.
Just because there's so many question marks surrounding the quarterback spot, as good as he could be, he could also be a complete bust. And if he's a bust, they're not going to win many games.
It's a fair point. I don't think it will go down like that. I think we'll be near probably 9 or 10 picks.
He's going to throw a lot of picks this year.
Well, yeah, well, he might be a slinger. You know what I mean? He might be the kid that's just like kind of on the run and just tries to make something out of nothing. And a lot of those times, those balls are batted and you know, picked off and taken the other way. That's a possibility. But look, all I know is the Jets will be fun to watch this year with the new regime and with that. I don't know I don't know what fun translates into wins. You know what I mean? But we'll see. All right. AFC North. I'll let you go first of what you think is last year's division champion was the Pittsburgh Steelers at 12-4. They won the division by 1 game over the Ravens and the Browns. Do you have the Steelers repeating with another year under Ben?
No.
Okay. Who do you got winning the division?
Baltimore.
Okay.
I know everyone's going to jump all over the Cleveland bandwagon, and rightfully so. They have a really stacked roster. Honestly, outside of maybe Buffalo, they're the one team I see that has the least amount of holes, but it's still the Cleveland Browns to me, and until they
Browns win, Browns?
Yeah, the Browns got to show and prove. There's a lot of stigma attached to the Browns where they just fail. I know they got a lot of good guys. I don't trust Odell. I think OBJ, obviously half man, half a season, and he's not even all that productive when he's been playing. I know he looks good this offseason. I've seen his workouts, and he hasn't been saying much. Give that a little time. I'm sure him and Cam will have their roundtable discussion like they did last year, that they were taking names
on
all the doubters, and neither guy produced. But the Cleveland Browns defense is stacked, right? They have a really good running game. They probably have the best battery in the NFL when it comes to the running backs. I'm just not a believer in Baker, and I'm not sure about their head coach yet.
I'm gonna be one of those guys that jump on the Browns bandwagon for this year. I think they win this division. And I'm not saying they're gonna run away with it. Maybe get 11 wins out of, you know, a 18 game season. Maybe like 11-7 wins that division.
I forgot to mention Lamar's trying to get paid too. Lamar's about to get $300 to $400 million
contract.
Yeah. And he's playing for his contract right now. And usually, money motivates players better than anything.
And his mama is his agent. So they're keeping it in the family.
They're getting him some weapons. They got Andrews. Marquise Brown is now no longer looked at as the guy that has to fucking create everything for the offense in the receiving game. Because Bateman I really like, but go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I was just saying the Browns defense will dictate how that season goes. I think their offense they'll do enough to be in every game. You know what I mean? They have weapons. OBJ coming back is a big thing. I don't personally like the guy, but he's a game changer. I love Jarvis Landry. I love, you know, their tight ends are good.
Austin Hooper's a good tight end.
Hooper's a great tight end. And I think that their running game is probably the best 1-2 punch in the league.
I mean, I think towards the end of the year, we might have something to say about that in Green Bay because I think AJ okay. Dillon, but we'll get to that.
No, totally, totally. But yeah, I think the Browns are going to win. My sneaky thing to watch for is the Cincinnati Bengals. I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but last year they went 4-11-1. So 4 wins. They don't do anything to the offensive line. They did. They tried to upgrade after they took another burner receiver. So I think that the team is stacked with weapons. And if Joe Mixon can stay on the field, I feel like that offense can click because I like Joe Burrow. I like his moxie. I think the kid could be a player. So I think they're going to take a nice little leap from like 4 wins to 7 wins, like the 3-win difference. Still not a playoff team, still not there yet, but I think that the Bengals going at the training camp look a lot better than they did last year.
They do. They just have a division that's stacked.
Right.
Even Pittsburgh, who I think is going to regress because of their offensive line woes, but Pittsburgh Steelers have a really good defense no matter what, always.
Mm-hmm.
And the receivers are good. I'm just not a believer in Big Ben at this point in his career.
I'm not really either, but heading over to the AFC South, last year's division winner via tiebreaker was the Tennessee Titans at 11-5. Right behind them, the Indianapolis Colts, the Texans, and the Jaguars. Now, before I pick the division winner, I will say the Texans will probably be on the clock when this season ends. If Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback of this team, which by all looks and signs of it, he will not be the quarterback because of everything he's going through. I think the Texans are in for a world of hurting, man. They don't have any leadership anymore. J.J. Watt, your Captain America himself, walked out the door and said, I'm done. Like, get me out of here. You know what I mean? And, like, when that happens, and this wasn't even Bill O'Brien this time. Bill O'Brien was shipping off guys like Hopkins for a bag of balls. You know what I mean? So I think the Texans are in trouble as far as being the worst team in the league. And I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, you know, won one game to get Trevor Lawrence last year, will do enough. Yeah, you got Tebow down there
Urban
in training
Meyer.
Camp.
We'll see what Urban Meyer's all
right,
about.
Right, we'll see. But I think that Urban Meyer gets them out of last place.
Yeah.
I think that team can win.
Maybe by default because the Texans are going to be so brutally bad.
I think so, too. But I think it is a toss-up with the Titans and the Colts. I can say this now because I don't have to hate him as much, but Carson Wentz has a chance to be the comeback player of the year almost. You know what I mean? Like,
very strong chance.
Very strong. And look, I'm not going to diminish the fact that the guy didn't have skill. He was a Philadelphia Eagle. So therefore, by proxy, I hate him. You know what I mean? But now he's a Colt, and I think he's got the weapons. I think that Jonathan Taylor is going to take the next step.
The offensive line is the best in the league, man.
Best in the league. And I think the Titans.
And he's got his old coordinator with him now, Frank Reich.
Right. Right. So, and that's, look, he was on pace for an MVP season a couple times on the Frank Reich. So that could turn around. We'll see. As far as the Titans go, I'm kind of sick and tired of this. I saw Dan Orlovsky of ESPN put Tannehill above Dak Prescott. Like, I was just like, I'm going to lose my mind. Tannehill, look, 3 years ago, you forgot about him. You know what I mean? Like, you forgot all about him.
Tannehill is really good.
He is good, but he's not.
He's really good.
All right.
And well, that you don't want to believe it because he was in Miami for a little bit. Tannehill has been, just look at the fucking numbers.
Oh, I know. No, the numbers, the stats don't lie. I get it.
Tannehill's a really good quarterback. He's probably the most underrated player in the NFL outside of potentially Allen Robinson. Tannehill's really, really good.
Allen Robinson's number one, but Tannehill's number two. And I agree with what Dave's saying, though, is like that Orlovsky's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, he does.
Orlovsky's an idiot, but I don't think he's an idiot with that take. I think that's there's an argument to be made. I wouldn't put Tannehill above Dak. I would take Dak on my team over Tannehill, but I'm not going to sit here. If I'm Tennessee, I'm not trading Tannehill for Dak either. Because you know why? He's not going to demand $45 million a year, ever. But the production is going to be there.
He still is making a nice chunk of change.
Nice chunk of change, but about, what, half of that?
Not half of that, but like...
A little less than half of that?
I don't know.
A little more than half of that?
He's working over there, but like, I just... It doesn't matter. I think the Titans will take a step back, even with the addition of Julio Jones, which some people almost forget about. Derrick Henry is a bust that could break down. Like, and I'm not saying he's going to break down and not.
I'm not buying that narrative at all.
Look, man, my brother I've said seen something it happens,
about that,
man.
But there was something that I saw yesterday about running backs in the last 3 years who have 2,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, and whatever else, something else. And it was AP, and then the age difference was AP's like 38.
I did see that.
And then the next oldest guy was Derrick Henry. And my brother was like, all I see here is Derrick Henry's about to break down. And when I said the other day, I said, Derrick Henry kind of reminds me of that AP where he's just a freak, and he's not going to break down because nobody wants to fucking hit him.
Very true. And the corners are getting lanky and little. You know what I mean? So he breaks to the outside. I find it hard pressed to find out who can bring him down until he gets to the safety level.
I'm not going to count. That's going to be
I'm not
a really,
counting him that, out. I'm not saying really, like, oh, he's going
to
stink.
This is going to be a really down to the wire, just like it was last season with the Colts and the Titans.
Yeah.
No matter what happens.
So who do you got?
I'm going to go with the Colts because I just think the offensive line play, and I like their coach. I really like their coach. And I think Vrabel's a good coach, but I just don't like him. As a person, like as a human.
As a human being.
Side note. My brother was bartending. I forget where he was bartending, and Mike Vrabel came in, and he stiffed him on the tip. So fuck Mike Vrabel.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
That's a fact.
All right, these are facts, folks. If you want to do an interview with Carl Gucci, go ahead, and we'll get some more press for Chop Sports. But, all right, finishing out the AFC in the AFC West. Now, a lot of people probably would like, it's a runaway. It's definitely going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Mahomes.
And it is a runaway.
I think it'll be, here's my take. I think that the Chiefs will win that division by like two games as opposed to what they did last year when they won it by six games. The team that takes the big leap forward are the Los Angeles Chargers. I think they're going to be a lot better. I love Justin Herbert. I love the way he plays the game. I think Keenan Allen still, I don't care what people say about this guy. He's one of the best pound-for-pound receivers in football. I will say that forever until he's literally not playing
healthy.
Anymore.
He
right.
Runs right.
He's got to stay on the field.
He runs a really good route. He just can't stay healthy.
Correct.
And I say that about their running backs, too. Their running backs haven't been able to stay healthy. So it's all about keeping the players on the field. They definitely have the roster. They need Derwin James to come back.
That's what I was going to say. He's an X factor.
Big time.
Huge X factor, but let's be real. The Chiefs are going to fucking run with that division. Oh,
I mean, they should. I think the Denver
Chiefs have a chance to go 14-3 or something like that.
They were 14-2 last year, yeah, so you're actually giving them one more loss.
Just
based off that, right?
They, even 13-4,
right?
They have a really good chance to do that, and I think that even if the Chargers do better, what are they going to be 10-7?
Right, but as I said, only two, three games. You know what I mean? Like a lot more competitive.
We'll go with four games.
I'll go with the Raiders to finish third, and I think the Broncos are going to be hanging around with the Texans this year.
No, the Broncos have a really good roster. It's just that they don't have the quarterback guarantee.
Right.
If Drew Lock could show up the way people have been saying he's supposed to show up, then the Broncos, they have a really good roster. They got Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton coming back. They have they're deep at running back, Melvin Gordon. I think they drafted another kid.
Javonte Williams.
Yeah, their offensive line is not bad. Their defense is not bad. We'll see. I just wouldn't put them that low. I don't think they're going to really do much. But I think Denver has a really good offense. I like a lot of their players.
They went five and 11 last year. I'll give them another
Noah
win.
Noah Fant's
good. I'll give them another win from last year. I'll give them one more win. So they'll go 6-11. That's how I feel like they're going to go.
That's pretty fair.
That's just my guess. But anyway. Okay. Anyway, moving on, we're not going to go into AFC champions or anything like that. We'll pick those in a massive episode. You know, towards the beginning of the season, we'll shift it on over to the NFC, starting in the NFC East. I mean, you already know where I'm going with this. With this team, as put on paper, the Dallas Cowboys should definitely win this division. On paper. They're the best offense in the division.
The fuck is he talking about?
What?
On paper, their defense is really bad.
How do you even remotely say that?
I mean, well, how do you remotely say that it's not? Bad. They can't cover anybody.
They definitely drafted well. They drafted decent. Yeah,
they have a good linebacker now.
They have a couple good linebackers.
I'm not saying
that. Micah Parsons, Jabril Cox. I'm just saying
on paper, this division, to me on paper, is a complete coin flip on paper. That's what I'm saying on paper. But I'm not saying Dallas doesn't. Dallas has the best, arguably the best unit. Dallas's offense is arguably the best unit in that whole division. Potentially the Washington defense. And I said the other day how the only team I don't give a chance to win the division is Washington. And now I actually predict Washington to win the division. That's how crazy this
division is. Do you think Washington is going to win?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. that's fine. Yeah, this is going to be a rough season for me. I don't know, man. I haven't really had to defend the Cowboys to this many people
in a long time. I'm not talking shit. I'm not even a hater. I think that I just said their offense is really good. I think that they're going to struggle to cover people.
I think that new defensive scheme, Dan Quinn's in there. I hope that it's better. We'll see.
It makes you feel better. I chose the Cowboys.
Oh, well, what a guy. I appreciate your support. I also think the Philadelphia Eagles will get one more win than they did last year. They're going to go 5-12. They're not going to be a good team at all. I don't think that first year head coach, deer in headlights, I don't like it. I don't think they're going to be any good. I think the Giants are going to make a couple leaps forward. I think the Washington football team is going to be a leap forward. So if I got the Dallas Cowboys somehow pulling rabbits out their hat and go like 11-7, you know what I mean? Or I'm sorry, 11-6, right? If the Cowboys can somehow get 11 wins, they'll win that division. 10 wins, 10-7, that's where I see the Washington football team, and I see the Giants at 9-8.
I feel like it's going to be around a three-way tie, the way almost like it was last year with the Giants. It's going to be a tough division, and I wouldn't count the Eagles out because whenever you kind of tend to count the Eagles out, that's when they have their best year. And that's the way it's been with the Giants. That's the way it's been with, I wouldn't say Washington, because they haven't been good lately, even though last year they did turn it around. And Chase Young is really fucking good.
He's the best.
Might be the best player in the whole division.
Chase Young? Yeah. All right. I might give him that, but I would not dismiss. Well, on the defensive side of the ball?
I mean, just in general. We're going to see. He might end up winning player of the year.
It's hard to rank, like, football players. Yeah, that's why I hate that.
But, like, when you're talking about, he has the potential.
He could be an Aaron Donald type. Yes, absolutely. I agree. All right.
Nobody could block that guy.
No. Yeah, he's a pain in the ass. And you know what? And Daron Payne. Like, they have a whole.
Yeah, their defensive line is really good.
Yeah, it's very good. Which will keep Dak on the run, which is always fun. The NFC North. I'm not going to ask you. This is kind of silly. But how many games do you think they can win this year? With Aaron Rodgers under center, they went 13-3 last year. How many games can the Packers win this year to win this division?
They're going
to
win at least 12 games.
Okay.
13. I don't want to say they're going to guarantee 13 games, but the Packers are 13-3 two years in a row. LaFleur has been one of the, you know, I think he has
26-6.
The best winning percentage in history over his first two seasons. We'll count the regular season because I don't want to talk about.
No, let's not talk about the playoffs.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't see Washington. I don't see Minnesota really doing anything. Dalvin Cook is really good. Kirk Cousins is a bum.
bum.
Andy Dalton, let's be real.
Justin Fields.
Who?
Yep.
Exactly.
All right.
And Detroit, we're talking about a team that might win the lottery for first pick this year.
They're in there,
they
too.
The Texans, they have
Jared
battle.
Goff. They had Stafford, and they were bad. Jared Goff is worse than Stafford.
I got a question for you, Chris. Who's the number one receiver on the Lions right now?
Bum, 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 bum.
I can give you 8 hours and you wouldn't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's Rashad Perryman and then Quintez Cephas.
So Detroit looks stacked, obviously. Swift is a good running back. I'll give him that. He was good. And Kerryon Johnson's always like one of those like hit or miss guys. But TJ Hockenson, he might just rot there, which sucks because I think he's got talent too.
Yeah, it sucks.
Jared Goff is... I don't believe in him. He got to the playoffs last year. You got to give him that.
Rams didn't believe in him.
Right. The Rams didn't, and they upgraded. They hit that upgrade button on the keyboard, you know what I'm saying, where they just get that next guy. All right, so the Packers probably run away with that division. That's fine.
The Packers have a chance to win that division if Rodgers doesn't even fucking play. That's how bad. that's how I'm not. I don't believe in these other teams. And everybody's like, "Oh, your division sucks," and they give you they talk shit like that's supposed to bother me. Like, I don't give a shit. I want every team in my division to suck. I want a fucking cakewalk to the playoffs and then play some real football. I do this every year as a Packer fan when the division sucks. I pick a new division around week 6. I'm like, okay, my new division is Seattle, San Fran, Rams, and I just picked the good teams that we're competing for in terms of pecking order in the playoffs. That's it. That's how football is.
Mm-hmm.
Your division is the entire conference after if your division sucks. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Got it. No, you're right.
Correct you.
When you're right, you're right. NFC South. This might be the more interesting divisions of football because there's a complete culture change. And last year's division winner at 12-4 were the New Orleans Saints. They no longer have their quarterback. They're now relying their season and their franchise within Jameis Winston. I don't know why I said that. Jameis Winston and or Taysom Hill, however they decide to play it. But again, the Super Bowl champ, defending champ, Tom Brady comes back. Which, by the way, I mean, do we need any more stories about the heroics of Tom Brady? Did you guys know that Tom Brady played the entire season last year on a torn MCL? Does anybody else want? My editor over at the Cowboys Wire retweeted that tweet because that was like the story yesterday. And he goes, by midnight, he'll have a torn ACL, torn meniscus, nerve damage, shit like that. They're just fluffing this guy up for what? We know he's the GOAT. We get it. Like, what are we talking about here? Right. And it's not like he's scrambling and booking it for 20 yards. If he's got a torn MCL, then that's it.
Oh, wait. So he had surgery?
I don't know.
If he didn't have surgery, it didn't happen.
Yeah, I feel like that's literally physically impossible. If it's a game or something, okay. The entire season, no, getting it's possible. And
guys,
stuff.
Guys do that, but I don't buy it. I want to see.
If so you think it's false?
I think it's false. If yeah, he had a false. Surgery or there's, let me see that. If Tom Brady had a torn MCL,
do the Conor, whatever. Do the Conor McGregor. Show us. Show us.
That was debunked.
Oh, really?
By a doctor. He was like, yeah, that's an MRI on his ankle. That's not an actual hairline fracture in that x-ray that Conor tweeted out.
Oh, that's so embarrassing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Conor McGregor is a stupid little chap. Anyway, Tampa Bay.
Just call him a jap.
Chap.
Jesus, yeah, I also Christ. Thought the same
thing. Yeah, I'm calling Conor McGregor a jap. That makes total sense. Anyway, Tampa Bay probably should run away with this again. They are literally bringing back every single starter from the Super Bowl team. New Orleans, I think they go from 12 wins to like 8. I'm not even kidding. Like, that's where I see this team. The defense is still okay, but that offense ran through Drew Brees, bro. Like, that offense was, it just didn't look the same, even though, you know, James Winston can throw the ball probably farther than Brees can right now. It doesn't matter. That's a massive talent hit, and they did not address it. They're just going with their guy in Jameis Winston, and I don't think that's the right move for the Saints.
I think the Saints will regress, definitely. They do have a really good roster outside of the quarterback position, and I really agreed. Like their coach, as much as I don't like him.
Oh, I don't like, I mean,
I don't like Sean Payton, but he's a good fucking coach.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't like him. He's great, though. Like, yeah. He's just great.
So he believes in Winston and that Taysom Hill combo package. You know, I wouldn't write the Saints off by any stretch. I don't think they're going to win anything big this year, but they could definitely win some games and make a wild card.
Okay.
We'll say.
Okay. Any hope in Sam Darnold bringing the Carolina Panthers to life with the return of CMC?
No.
No. Okay.
I have a ton of faith in that.
Yeah?
I think that the Panthers are the dark horse team for this year to at least make the playoffs, wild card, like something like that. I think that Matt Rhule's a good coach. The defense struggles a little bit. They don't really have the name brand players that they need. But I just think that Rhule's a guy who can rally players of lesser talent and make them produce. And I think that with Sam Darnold, a better quarterback, a guy that's worked with Robbie Anderson before, and McCaffrey fully on the field, I feel like they could be a decent team.
All right.
They could be decent. But they're not going to win the division.
And no, not at all.
I don't see them making the playoffs either.
But that would be a quite the bold statement. Now, with the Falcons going 4-12 last year, just out of curiosity, you know, they're going with Matt Ryan again. Obviously, one more year under him at least. They lose Julio Jones. Like, they gain Kyle Pitts, one of the more better playmakers in the NFL draft this year. To me, that's a trade-off, and they didn't really do anything else. They lost half their defensive secondary to the Cowboys because they went and joined Quinn. You know what I mean? So I don't know if this team might be hovering in the 5-win category and be in the top 10 again next year.
Yeah, they didn't do anything to improve the defense, and that's their biggest hole. Their biggest liability was their defense, and they're still going to have no defense. So, going to do much this year. And I know Jorge and Ibby are going to get on me. I've been getting texted by them because I bashed the Falcons like 4 days in a row.
I mean they stink. Here's the thing. You're not bashing them. You're stating actual things.
Yeah,
like,
that's what happens when I talk about the Cowboys defense and you still get offended.
I'm not offended.
Oh, okay.
I know the Cowboys are, they're new. They're young. We'll see what happens.
No, I agree.
It's a see what happens kind of league.
You know I agree. And their head coach is
a piss. I get it. I understand. All right. So, the NFC West, probably the best division in football, I think. top to bottom.
That or the AFC North?
Yeah, but all right. Yeah, okay, fine. But this one, I think, takes the cake.
I like this one.
I think this one. Seattle last year wins the division at 12-4. L.A. goes to the playoffs at 10-6. The Cardinals and the 49ers. Cardinals finish 8-8. The 49ers finish 6-10. Now, a couple questions about this division. I'm going to go ahead and pick Seattle just because of Pete Carroll and Russ and DK and Tyler Lockett and Chris Carson. And that team and the defense is not the Legion of Boom, but it's still, whatever.
They have another big holes in their secondary.
They do. They do. And even Dallas exposed it last year in the one of the games that Dak was still there. He was lighting them up. But so I'm hard-pressed. You know what? I'm going to change it.
You're going to go with the Rams.
Honestly, good.
No. No. I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals to win the NFC West. Now, this team keeps getting better under Kyler Murray, under their new coaching staff. You got Hopkins. Your running game probably took a little bit of a hit losing Drake. I think they're the youngest. I'm going to go with the Rams. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams.
They have the best record in the NFL this year, arguably. They're a really good team.
Now they got Stafford. I'm going to go with the Rams. See how hard that was?
I think that, to your point, the Cardinals have a really, really good chance, and they started off on fire last year. But I think that there's an even bigger chance that their coach gets fired midseason.
I think Cliff Kingsbury stinks.
Stinks.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
He's on the hot seat.
Wow.
They got a really good roster, and he hasn't done shit with it. I know he's brand new at this, but
all right. Now we're all three of us are kind of talking about three teams, and we're leaving one off. Do the 49ers have a chance to make any noise? And if so, is it under Jimmy G or is it Trey Lance time? How many weeks into the season do you think is the leash short? Is it what I'm asking you? There's a lot of money invested in Jimmy G. Is that leash short for the 49ers?
Yes.
So by week four, if they're 1-3.
The thing is, I don't think that Jimmy G is really going to be a liability for this team because of the way they operate. They're a handoff team. They don't ask him to do too much. And I think he might be better at that than Trey Lance right now. So to fit this team's mold, Jimmy G is definitely the guy going into the season. We have to see more out of Lance. Obviously, he could just blow the fucking cover off and be way better than Jimmy G. And it's just he'll get the job right out of the gate. But the main reason why I won't write off San Francisco is because of their coach.
Yeah,
he's Shanahan.
Really good coach, and he's not afraid to just pound the rock. He commits to a game plan, and he'd be like, "Oh, we're gonna do this every play until you could stop it." And they do it every fucking play until you. I saw it firsthand in the playoffs, 285 rushing yards.
Yeah,
and then when they don't run, and then people will blame
Aaron Rodgers for not being able to win a playoff game. But it's when you give up 285 rushing yards, are you really gonna fucking win a playoff game?
That reminds me of when Dallas played the Rams, and it was like that bowling ball. What was it, Mike Anderson? No, it was C.J. Anderson.
C.J. Anderson.
450 pounds decides to run it down our throats. Like, that's a recipe for a loss no matter what. I don't care how good your offense is on the other side of the ball. But, all right, well, look, we got the divisions set right now. We'll revisit this in September before kickoff to see if there was any injuries, trades, signings, cuts. You know, there's going to be a lot of shit going on, but at least it's football, and at least there's football season is so very close. We're getting set up for all of our fantasy leagues and stuff like that, so everything's going to be football crazy here. We'll be doing stuff on Sundays here at the studio for Football Sundays. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and yeah, I'm just happy to even talk football at this point. So
it's amazing.
It is. So it has been another fantastic week for Chop Sports as a whole. It's been busy as hell. My body is definitely catching up to me. Today, I almost couldn't get out of bed. Maybe that's half softball, half the week has been that busy, you know. So we're doing a lot of things over here. Be sure to check us out, chopsportsmedia.com, for the entire podcast lineup. There's blogs there, which, by the way, Fogg hit me back up, and he made a joke of where and were, and he just laughed it off. He's like, oh, and this is my next one. I'm like, okay, we'll see. We'll see about that. Yeah, check out the blogs.
Oh, so he did listen.
I guess. Yeah, guess so. So
hey, what's up, Fog?
Yeah, so we're getting new listeners just based off of the stories that we tell here on the Chop Sports Podcast. So for Sturch and Gooch, go check out the goddamn Jets today. Go check out all of our line, the Squeaky Bum Time Podcast, which I don't know, you probably saw it. They tested out some video aspect of it. They used StreamYard last night, so they kind of posted in two formats, one on video, one on their podcast, on the podcast feed. So go check those guys out as well. Give them a download, leave a review, all that good shit to get them growing. We do have a couple new advertisers we're about to launch next week. I want to give a special shout out to those guys on Monday when their ads start. And I also want to say that if you do want to advertise on the Chop Sports Podcast Network, be sure contact us, chopsportsmedia@gmail.com, and we'll go over some pricing with you. So for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, intern AJ, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Gun to your head, AJ, because I know Dave's answer. Cowboys making the playoffs this year?
No.
Nah.
Fired!